Now what you're going to do, as you're focusing on your breath, is you're going to say this little prayer in your body. As you breathe in, I want you to thank God for the indwelling of His Spirit. Say, God, thank you for your Spirit. And then on the breath out in your mind, you're going to say, and thank you for your presence. So breath in, thank you for your Spirit. Breath out, thank you for your presence here today. could open your eyes. So this actually was just a test you all passed that you can meditate so we can continue on with the lesson. Nice job with that first one. But I do want to say, you know, again, the breath is a great anchor for the mind. Okay, a lot of times we're in a lesson or we're home trying to, you know, do some meditation, our minds are all over the place. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Don't be discouraged by that. It doesn't mean that you can't meditate. It just means you need to train your mind.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Come on, Ryan.
The other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, what I asked you to say in your mind is very intentional. A lot of times we come to lessons like this, we get together, we're excited about the worship music and the fellowship, and we forget that God is here with us.
Amen. Yeah.
So we've got to focus on that. We've got to be grateful for the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Indwelling our bodies. I mean, that is an incredible gift.
Yeah.
That we so easily forget. So just continue to focus on that.
Come on, Ryan.
Throughout the lesson tonight. So I am so fired up to be here. I mean, I was so appreciative that Rob asked me to come down and talk about this topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But I've heard great things about the campus ministry down here. I want to give a shout out to some Hudson Valley campus ministry. But grateful that you guys came down here tonight too. I do want to say actually one more thing about Chelsea. I gotta always give a shout out to Chelsea because she introduced me to my wife. Little old Mac. Very cool. So if you're looking for a matchmaker, Chelsea, who knows? She's better.
I got you, bro.
Yep, so a little bit about myself. So, you know, my amazingly beautiful, spiritual, incredible wife. Please feel free to text her that I said all those great things about her. Text her number. This is us in D.C. I was actually launching my 2020 campaign. So, you know, this is really cool. That's funny. I guess. And then, okay, here we go. So, my three daughters, mama and dad, they are just awesome girls. So, Evelyn over here on your left, she's four. On the right is Vivian, she's two. Yep, we shout out Vivian. She's just all over the kids. And then Lillian is one. Now, this is a special picture because they're all lovey-dovey right now. I won't tell you what happened right after we took the picture. It happens like that, just as a heads up. But anyway, this is my family. As Rob said, I very gratefully and humbly lead the Hudson Valley Legion of the New York City Church of Christ. My wife is there with me. My partner, I was going to say in crime. We don't do crime, but we lead the church. So anyway, she's a helpful companion to me. But also, as Rob mentioned, so I completed my PhD at Indiana University, and so the focus was health behavior and human development. And so one of the things that I was so interested in researching while I was at Indiana was this health behavior and spiritual discipline known as meditation. You may have read different things about it. It's very trendy right now, especially mindfulness meditation, which I may talk a little bit about that tonight. Happy to answer some questions about that. But I was able to complete my dissertation just on that topic. And I specifically focused on adolescents or young people because what I realized through, you know, different research studies is that meditation especially impacts the adolescent mind and brain in ways that it doesn't impact adults. And so I'm not sure if you are aware of this, but the adolescent time period is from age 10 to 25.
Yeah.
So, hey, just kind of plug for
meditation.
Come on. Might have some people that fit that range in the room. But I've been practicing on my own for over 6 years now, and I'll talk about my interest in meditation as a spiritual discipline. But we are going to talk about meditation tonight. So here we go. There it is. The Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. So before I talk about the title, does anyone recognize this mountain? It's in a very popular, awesome movie.
Force Awakens!
Yes, Force Awakens. The Force Awakens. Go see it. It's the mountain from The Force Awakens. Now, no name, what's the mountain? Yeah. Anyway, so the title is The Lost Art of Biblical Meditation. So I hope that the first question in your mind is, lost? Well, how did it become lost? Why did it become lost? And how can we rediscover it? So I want to first tell you about my story with biblical or spiritual meditation, and I'll tell you how it was lost for me and then how I rediscovered it. Some ideas behind that. So, I had studied spirituality in my master's degree from a health standpoint.
Wow.
And I came across ideas and concepts like meditation and prayer and things like that. I became a disciple later, but that was kind of my introduction to meditation. And, you know, fast forward into my discipleship, so as Rob said, I was baptized in 2008. I had read about meditation in the scriptures, but just didn't really think a whole lot about it.
Right.
And then I read a book. It's amazing what you find in books sometimes.
Right.
It's a reason. But I was actually traveling on my honeymoon, and I picked up this book called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Don't worry about reading that book. It's actually pretty dry. It's a good book, but it's kind of dry, so I'll just tell you this part that impacted me. So I read this book, and it's right in the beginning of the book. And J.I. Packer gives this quote to kind of set up what he's about to talk about. He says this: we have some idea, perhaps, of what prayer is. But what is meditation? Well, may we ask, for meditation is a lost art today, and Christian people, check this out, suffer grievously from their ignorance of the practice. Christian people suffer grievously from their ignorance of the practice. So I was one of those people at that time. And I'm not going to say that I had meditation all figured out or anything like that, but I was one of those people. And this hit me so hard. I was like, I'm somewhat familiar with meditation, but yeah, I don't know what meditation is. I'm ignorant of the practice. And so I'm suffering grievously because I don't know what it is. So, thus began my journey. And what I realize now is that at that time, I was suffering grievously or intensely because I didn't know anything about this practice that is so helpful in the spiritual realm, in our walk with God. So, what I want to lay out there for you tonight is a little bit about God blessing. A little bit about what this is and how you can practice it and how it can help you grow and develop spiritually.
Amen.
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 Excited about that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I did my job to set it up. But I want to go back just real quick to this idea of loss.
Yes.
Okay, why has it become lost? Well, I'll just say for centuries, meditation was such a part of Christian practice. It was a normal part of what Christian people did for centuries. And actually, even prior to that. I mean, the Jews were practitioners of meditation. They would memorize books of the Bible. And they would meditate on it and turn it over in their minds. It was just something part of what they did.
Right.
And so Christians adopted that practice. But then around the 18, 1900s, it just seemed to fade away. And I have, there are lots of reasons why, but I have one main reason why, and I want to talk about it, and I think you'll be able to connect with this. So, Gene R. Gene R. had this to say about meditation. Soon,
Silence will have passed into legend. Man has turned his back on silence. Day after day, he invents machines and devices that increase noise and distract humanity from the essence of life.
Wow.
Contemplation, meditation. That would add, contemplation and meditation on God. But how true is this?
Yeah, come on, Ryan.
I mean, if we just live distracted lives, thinking about everything else, what just happened, what might happen in the future, all kinds of stuff on our smartphones, right? Inventing machines and devices that distract us from the most important things in life. Now, Hans Arp was very prophetic in what he said, because he said this in the 1950s.
Wow.
And think about how true that is today. It was true then, and it's true now.
Yeah.
And we just find ways to distract ourselves from the most important things in life. So I want to bring us back in contact with this art, this discipline. And the first place that we need to go to rediscover it and understand it is the Scriptures.
Amen. Right.
So let's go to the Scriptures. We're going to go to Old School. We're going to go Old Testament tonight.
All right. Thank you.
We're going to go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1. And then we'll skip over to Psalm 1. Now, what you're going to notice is that what's said in Joshua 1, these verses that I have up here in Psalm 1, are very similar. It's basically communicating the same thing, but we see different times in Israel's history where this is being communicated. So let's break these passages down, and then I have a few other little nuggets for you. So Joshua 1, verses 7 through 9. So I'm going to read passage from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's going to be different than the translation we have, but, you know, it always helps to mix things up a little bit. So, verse 7. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it, or to recite it, day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen.
So let's give this some context here. So Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt. They go to the promised land, can't enter yet, back in the wilderness, 40 years of traveling and chaos and all kinds of, you know, crazy stuff, but preparation for entering the promised land. So there they are at the brink of the promised land. They're about to go in. Moses dies, right? He wasn't able to enter.
Yeah.
But he hands the baton on to his mentee, Joshua, a great leader in Israel. And so imagine this. I mean, he's leading millions of people into the promised land. And so he's got this monumental task before him. And this was God's encouragement to him. So you're going to go and do this big thing? Make sure you do this. He says, be strong and courageous, right? And then he goes on to say, this book of instruction. So he's talking about the Pentateuch, so the first five books of the Bible. He's saying, this book of instruction. One way to think about that is the ways of God, the word of God, this book of instruction. You got to focus on that.
Right.
And he says, meditate on that. Day and night. That doesn't leave a lot of time in between. We're busy with focusing on this. Interesting that he doesn't say, prepare your battle tactics and make sure you sharpen your swords and get your armor ready. And I mean, of course, those things are important as well. But he's saying, focus on my word, and I will be with you, and I will carry you to success
right.
wherever you go.
Yeah.
an amazing
promise. And we see something very similar in Psalm 1. So in Psalm 1, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 3. This is the blessed character, the happy person, or the blessed person is this way. It's going to describe this person. And I'll just say as a side note, this is for free, this is a picture of Jesus Christ. What this psalm is describing is the righteous one, the blessed one, the happy one. And we see that depicted, or we see that carried out in the life of Jesus.
Amen, bro.
So let's look at this. Psalm 1. How blessed or happy is the person or the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of sinners or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction. And he meditates on that day and night. He or she or they are like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, that's another amazing promise.
That's right.
Well, let's break this down a little bit. So the blessed character, the happy person, the one who is fortunate in life, there are things that they don't do, right?
No.
Sit, stand, walk, nothing to do with the wicked.
Right, right.
So they detach from those things, but they connect with, look how it's stated here. Their delight, their desire, their joy is in the ways of God.
Amen.
His word, his instruction, his statutes, the way that God is, his nature and his character, that's their delight. They can't get enough of it.
Amen. Right. Yep.
And they like it so much that they can't stop thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Day and night, it's just where their heart and their mind is.
Yeah.
And meditate on it. So the Hebrew for meditate is hagah. Let's say it together on three. 1, 2, 3.
Hagah.
I was hoping for some more. It kind of feels like that to me. Let's try it one more time. 1, 2, 3.
Hagah.
Okay. Alright, good enough. Let's stick with that. So hagah means to murmur. And so when I think of murmur, I think of a heart. So a heart is a light, the beating is a light, low sound, but it's continuous and it's always there.
Wow.
Another way you can think about it, and really honestly, if you want to learn how to meditate, just sit by a stream and observe the stream. It's constant, it's steady, the sound is always there, it's a murmur.
Right.
It's just, it's there. And that's how the Word of God is to be in our lives as disciples of Jesus. And what that does, this is the benefit, it constantly nourishes, it constantly fills up, it constantly supplies what we need spiritually. And it's like a tree, right? So the tree would be us beside a stream of water. Water is what a tree needs. Y'all knew that, right? It's like third grade science. Plants need water and nourishment to thrive and grow and develop. And so when the Word of God is meditated on day and night, like that spiritually.
Yes.
So much so that we bear fruit in season. Our leaves do not wither. Whatever we do prospers. We are successful. Not because we're so cool or great or spiritual, but because God has made us
Amen.
That way.
Come on, Ryan.
When we're interacting with His Word the way that He has called us to.
Come on, bro.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting. Now, here's the thing about this passage and the last passage that I want to make sure that I convey. To meditate on something day and night is impossible. Right? If you woke up tomorrow morning and you're like, I'm just going to think about God's word and His instructions all day long, you wouldn't be able to do it. So, why the call? Why the call to have us do that? Well, it's because it's some place that God wants to take us, and the way we get there is by engaging the discipline of meditation.
Right.
It's spiritual training, right? For many of us in the room, and this was true for me, I couldn't just wake up tomorrow and go for a 30, 50 mile run in the woods, as exciting as that sounds. No? Okay. But you see what I'm saying, right? We could just do that and wake up. But if you train for it, you can get there. You can do it.
Yeah.
And so the same is true here. We can't meditate day and night unless we train for it. If we engage the discipline consistently over time, we'll get there.
Amen.
And it'll be like not an effort. When the Word of God is just, oh my gosh, it's just in our hearts, it's just in our being. It's
love it, bro. Come on.
So lots of other passages about meditation in the Bible. I'm just going to read a few. Psalm 77, verse 12. I will meditate also upon all thy work and muse, or meditate is another way to say that, on thy doings.
Mm.
I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse or meditate on the work of your hands. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Those are the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about and meditating on and dwelling on. And you may say, okay, cool. That's old school. That's Old Testament. What's the New Testament got?
Oh, bro. Yo, what's up, bro?
Show me something, bro.
Right,
I got you.
Right, Ryan.
Oh, that's weird.
But there are a few passages in the New Testament that, you know, allude to that. But I will say that the discipline was such a part of the culture and the practice of the people that the Bible didn't really need to say a whole lot about it.
Wow, wow.
It's just part of who they were and what they did. But the New Testament does say a few things about setting your mind on the Spirit. That's Romans 8.
Right.
Setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with the Messiah in God. When this Messiah, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him glorious. Colossians 3. So setting your mind on things above, dwelling on the good, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, dwell, meditate, think on these things. And where's that from?
Philippians
4.
Philippians 4, verse 8.
Come on.
Okay, so dwelling on those things. But the most important question we should ask is, well, did Jesus meditate? Right?
Oh.
I mean,
go
was
there.
This guy a meditator?
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah, of course. I wouldn't have asked a question if it was. Yeah, of course it was. And for a few, we understand that for a few reasons. Number one, scriptures talk about how he went out to solitude and prayed, and likely he was meditating in there during those times. And I'll talk a little bit more about why in a second. That's Mark 1:35, Luke 5:16. Jesus was a good Jew, and as a good Jew, he would have practiced meditation. That's what Jews did. But I also think that he probably likely meditated a lot on the Psalms. And here's a few reasons why I'm suggesting that. Well, for one thing, the Jews meditated on the Psalms.
Yeah.
They memorized the Psalms. In fact, they turned the Psalms into prayers. The Psalms were actually the prayer language of the Jews. And so it's likely that as Jesus was out praying in these places of solitude, he was meditating and praying the Psalms. And another reason behind that assumption, or that theory anyway, is that Jesus quoted the Psalms more than any other Old Testament book.
Wow.
11 times he quotes the Psalms, including on the cross.
Wow.
Right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22. So, my whole point is that meditation is a pretty good idea, something that we should be engaging.
Amen, bro.
So I want to give us just a quick definition. So I've kind of laid things out there biblically and scripturally, but I want to give us a definition, and then I'll talk about how to practice and we'll do some more meditation.
Nice.
So Thomas Merton,
who's a monk, he's a monk, so we don't know about that king.
He wrote a book called Spiritual Direction Meditation. This is what he said about meditation. To meditate is to exercise the mind in serious reflection. Reflection not only involves the mind, but also the heart, and indeed the whole being. And I love this part. Look at this. In fact, study is not spiritually fruitful unless it leads to some kind of meditation.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute.
Wow.
Not to just read the Bible as an interesting book. I mean, it is an interesting book, and there's history there, and some facts you can pick up about things. But it's not meant to be read like that. It's meant to be absorbed. It's meant to be taken in. It's meant to affect who we are.
Mm.
And so that's what he says next. In meditation, we strive to absorb what we have already taken in.
Wow.
And that's a great image and depiction of what meditation is. So let's talk about the art of meditation. We'll talk about how we do this. So, Lectio Divina.
All right.
Some cool words up there. But it means divine reading. So this is actually a whole approach to the scriptures that you can embrace for yourself. So there are a few different steps, and we're just going to focus on one. So Lectio is preparation. Look, we're talking about this is the Word of God.
Come on, Ryan.
Okay?
Come on.
This is the very words from our Father to us.
Come on.
It's important that we don't just haphazardly get in there. You know, sometimes just opening up to a passage, that can be useful. But we've got to approach this with intention and respect. So it takes some preparation prior to getting into it. So that preparation is silencio. It's what we do in the beginning. We just focus on our breath. We pray a little bit. And we prepare our minds and our hearts for what we're going to receive. Lectio, receiving. So now we're reading. We're breaking things down. Maybe analyzing a little bit. That's what I did with those scriptures, and reading those scriptures to you. So then once we've taken it in, then we meditatio, or meditation, we process. We turn it over in our minds over and over again. You can say, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sin is his accomplished, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law, he meditates day and night. Meditates day and night. Meditates day and night. Turn it over, process it,
wow.
Make it into a mantra. And then you have aratio, which is it's a ratio, I should say aratio.
Okay.
Anyway, response to God from the heart. So now that you've meditated on this, what's your response to God?
Wow.
What are you going to do with what God is saying to you into your heart? And then contemplatio. Yielding and waiting upon God. That's surrender. Just say, okay, you've spoken to me. This is what I believe you're calling me to. I'm surrendering to that. Do with me what you will.
Mm.
Wow. And then the last step, incarnatio. Live out that text. And Joshua says, meditate day and night so that you will observe everything written in it. And this is what differentiates this kind of meditation from other kinds of meditation.
Right.
We meditate not just because it's some cool, psychological thing that we're doing in our minds. We're meditating not so we can read it out.
Amen.
And grow and be more like ourselves.
God.
So, just a couple of things about what it does, and then we'll meditate a little bit together. So why meditate? You know, I've shared some reasons with you already, but a couple of things further I wanted to say. As Rob was talking about it, I said that meditation is a spiritual discipline. And spiritual disciplines are part of what's called spiritual formation or spiritual growth and development. And there are these things, these practices that we do, so prayer, meditation, Bible reading, encouraging one another, those kinds of things, that form our spirit. You can think of your spirit as your organ of choice. It's where all of our choices and our will arises from. And so meditation is one discipline that can affect our decision-making so that it lines up with God's will.
Amen.
Because that's what disciples do.
Amen.
It renews our mind. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, right? If you're going to be transformed,
right,
you have to renew your mind. And that's what meditation focuses on. It renews our minds. It gives us new thought patterns, new ideas, and helps us to absorb those things and live those out. Improves our health. I'll say just a couple quick things about that. You can ask more questions about it later. But this was the focus of my research in my PhD. But helps to reduce symptoms of depression and anxiety. Now, here's the thing. Again, I'm not a medical doctor, so if you have a diagnosis, I'm not saying it's going to cure you of those things, but it can be used alongside of treatment. It can be a helpful thing if that's right for you. But anyway, it can help to reduce signs of depression and anxiety. It can also boost your immune system, help you physically, help you get better sleep. A lot of different things that meditation can do, but I wanted to lay out a few things from a health standpoint. Okay, good?
Yeah,
good with that? All right, let's go meditate again. So, I'm going to take you through one last meditation here.
Come on.
And so, you know, again, you're not going to need to take notes on this. You get back to your comfortable position in your chair, whatever that is for you. So again, I like to keep flat on the floor, hands by my side. I will say some people, from a receptive posture, a receptive standpoint, like to put their palms up as if they're receiving something from God. So that might be a helpful thing for you. You can either look up to God in reception, or you can face down and have a humble posture towards God. So whatever works for you. What I'm going to do is, this is a more of a focused attention meditation. I'm going to read Psalm 23,
come on,
one of my favorite psalms, and I'm going to read it slowly and meditatively, and I want you, with your mind, to try to imagine all of the images that the psalmist is conveying. A lot of amazing images in this psalm.
Right.
So I want you to try to connect with that and bring those images to your mind. And first, you know, focus on your breath. So get your mind centered. Breath in. Breath out. Breath in. Breath out. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life.
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, you can open your eyes. The last thing I'll say is I hope that you continue to practice this on your own. Make it your own thing, you know, develop it how you will. Don't get discouraged. Okay, if tonight you're trying to focus your mind on just, you know, just checking, I mean, you're in a room full of people. So that can be challenging, but it's not natural for our minds to be so focused like that. It needs training. So give yourself some grace. Continue to practice. Thank you for inviting me tonight. Shalom.
Amen. Hey, let's stand up and sing one more song. Let's give it up for Ryan Irving one more time. Open our hearts, our minds. We're gonna sing a song called Deeper. And